Hello, folks, and welcome back to this month's episode of HYOH Podcast, a podcast about hammocks, camping, philosophy, and whatever else comes up in conversation around a campfire. I apologize if my voice sounds off. Seems I've caught myself a cold, so I'm more than a little bit congested tonight. And also my apologies for not putting out an episode in a while, being MIA. Much of that will be cleared up in this month's podcast. And speaking of this month's podcast, it was my honor to be a guest on my friend's podcast, the Hammock Hangers Podcast, hosted by Paul Collins and AJ Glenn, who some of you all might know from HangCon. I remember some time ago, Paul mentioning he was thinking of firing up a podcast, and from the start, I encouraged him and said I'd do anything I could to help. Super happy to see Skunk Ape and Phoenix doing so well with their venture about adventure. So this month, I'll be doing things a bit different, and sharing episode 29 of their podcast, where I'm the guest. In it, I'm able to give a little bit more detail of where I've been for the past few months and generally wade back into the hammock hanging water to be rebaptized in its airy goodness. So that's just what I've been missing. And a last piece, if any of you want to drop me an email, any thoughts, suggest a topic or a guest, please email me at heyduff, that's H-E-Y-D-U-F-F, as in heyduff, at gmail.com. I'll have everything in the show notes at hyohpodcast.com. And without further ado, on with the show.
You are listening to the Hiking Radio Network, where we talk the walk with shows by hikers about hikers for everybody.
This is the Hammock Hangers Podcast, where we hang out and talk about everything from hammocks and hammock camping to the group hangs from around the country. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Hammock Hangers Podcast. I am your host, Paul Collins, or Skunk Ape. We also have my co-host, AJ, or Phoenix, with us.
Hey, everybody.
And this week, our guest is Chris Duffy, which a lot of y'all probably know him. He is a fellow podcaster with the HYOH Podcast.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, Chris? We're going to have a chat for a little while with Chris, find out what he's been up to, and just catch back up with him. And then he has some good news to tell us. So how you been doing, Chris?
I've been busy.
Yep.
As you guys all know, I haven't done the podcast in a while. Right. Had a few things going on in my world starting last September. My wife wasn't feeling well. And then from September until just recently, in that time, she had brain surgery. She had bowel surgery, abdominal surgery.
Wow.
Nearly lost her a couple times. So people can forgive me for not worrying about the podcast for a little bit. And
you
just
had,
as my wife,
totem pole priorities at LaSalle.
Yeah,
exactly.
And just when she was coming out of the woods, the company I work for is a global company of about 10,000 people. I work in IT, and we got ransomware attacked, and I've been working like 70, 80 hours a week. So
wow.
I've been busy. That's what I've been up to.
Right.
Life happened in a very major way.
Yeah, yes, it was just testing me.
So, first off, how's your wife doing now? Is she doing better? Or?
She's doing great now. She,
awesome.
We had a, appointment for a brain surgery. All good. Just checkups now. Her abdomen is healing. She does continue to have cancer. So, we're going to kind of have to keep fighting that battle.
Sure.
Cancer sucks. But it looks like we're going to get to a plateau where we can have some calm, I guess, for a while. So,
gotcha.
That's why I reached out to you guys. I'm like, I'm ready to talk about hammocks.
Excellent. We're so glad to have you back on. I know that I've thoroughly missed your podcast. I always thoroughly enjoy what you've done over there with the HYOH Podcast. And for our listeners, if you haven't checked out what Chris has done, and his podcast is the HYOH Podcast, please check him out. He's doing some great stuff. He has some great interviews. go listen to some backlogs and show them some love, because we really appreciate all the voices that we can get from the Hammock community. And,
exactly.
And thank you for all that you've done for the Hammock community, Chris. And thank you for all the things that you have in your future. Hint, hint, wink, wink, spoiler alert later on in the episode here.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
So with that being said, I know most people probably do know about the HYOH podcast. I know we do have a lot of new listeners, you know, they're coming on here and everything else. So for anybody that may not know about the podcast, just tell a little bit about, you know, a little backstory about it as far as, you know, how long the HYOH has been going on, when you took it over and all that good stuff.
Sure. The HYOH podcast was started by two cool cats up in New York, Jonathan and Mark. They did it for about 2 years, and they did kind of what they wanted to do with it. They got to talk to a bunch of folks. They went to, I think they recorded one from HangCon, in fact. And then Jonathan put out and said, you know, we're going to close shop. Does anybody want to pick up the gauntlet? And I said, sure, I'll figure it out. So I took it over. I think they did about 50 episodes.
Okay.
And, you know, I stumbled at the beginning. I had a buddy who was going to do it with me. He was going to be my comic relief. And then he found that he didn't really want to do it. So I've been doing it kind of solo. I forget what number. I've been doing it for a couple of years now too.
Yep.
And what I try to do with the podcast is, the person that gave me my tutelage was actually Shug, because yep. I was stumbling around trying to find what I wanted to do. And he's like, you just need to be who you are. So whatever that is, make it your own. So what it's become is kind of a chat around the fire. If you think about it, there's me,
yeah.
There's the person I'm talking to, and then the listener is the third person poking the fire with a stick, listening to us chat. That's really the feel and the buzz that I'm going for, is okay. You're just sitting there listening. So I don't really direct the podcast too much. I let it wander. And so when the listener checks out the podcast, keep that in your mind. Imagine being just sitting, listening to a couple of people talk, or however many I have on the podcast, and it will make sense.
Now, I remember when you had me on your podcast, I remember you going over all that and, you know, telling me the same thing, that it was, you know, just like we're sitting around a campfire. And that is the feel that I got whenever you and I were chatting.
Well, one awesome. Of the tricks that I did, and you guys have done podcasts, and we can get into the podcast tricks, is I'll start recording just as soon as a person gets on, because some people clam up when they
right
suddenly they're bantering and you press record and then they don't say a word. So what I have found as a trick is I'll record right from the beginning, and then you're gonna know at some point they forgot that you're recording them, and it becomes natural. And then even if you notice, after about 20 minutes in the podcast, they've stopped umming and eyeing, because
right.
I've lulled them into just chatting. When we're around the campfire, you just talk how you talk. And then it just kind of flows. And then you kind of feel when, you know, it's kind of winding down. And I've had podcasts, I've had that feeling after 25 minutes. I've had others, it took 2.5 hours. I mean, it just clicked for 2.5 hours, just went. And then I had to go, I got to break this up and post it as multiple sessions. People aren't going to sit here and listen to 2.5 hours. but I try to pull out just what is whatever wants to come out.
Okay. Yeah, I know AJ and I have had a couple of short episodes, and then some that we'll be talking, and then we look at
much
the
longer
time.
Than they really need to be.
Yeah. Look at the time, and it's like, oh my God. We need to wrap this up.
So what Chris is basically saying, Paul, is I just think we're letting everyone know that just we genuinely just talk too much.
There we go.
Yeah. Everybody seems to love it, though. That's what I like about it. you know, because I mean, I look at the stats of every week, you know, and it seems like the same people are coming back, and you know, each week might get a few more, you know, coming in. I mean, as long as people, you know, share about the different podcasts and everything else, you know, it helps spread the word and brings more people in, which is awesome.
Yeah, what's been interesting for me is, and you guys do this a little bit too, is you're making your craft, your art in a vacuum, you know, yeah. And you can look at your metrics and stuff. So when I stopped doing the podcast, I didn't think anybody cared. I mean, they were listening. I can't believe the amount of people are like, are you all right? I mean, they were checking in. They're saying, I want you back. And I'm like, huh? Because I'm not as good as you at checking stats. I record, I put it out in the wild. It's kind of an art piece. You know, once the art is done and on a wall, I'm off to something else.
Right.
But it was really nice that the support out there of people checking in, wanting me back and wondered what the story was, and just felt good.
That's awesome. So whenever you start the podcast back up next month, are you still going to keep it at one episode a month, or are you going to change that up? Or
yeah, I'd like to try to do the one a month.
Okay.
The best I can. I always try to figure that I'm going to bank them. Getting guests has been probably the most difficult. It's kind of like any contractor or something. Doing the work is easy. Getting the jobs is hard. Yes. So finding the guests. So I may change it up a little bit. I'll create content every month, whether it will be a guest. Now, ultimately, I want guests. I love talking. I love bantering, because everybody has a perspective. You've got the ultra light weenies that, you know, they'll cut the half of their toothbrush off when they go hiking. But then you've got the car campers who they could care less about weight. You know, it doesn't really matter. They can touch the car from their hammock. You know, I like everything in between. I talk to a motorcycle traveler. I mean, I just everything. I'd like to go international. That's one of my dreams, is to talk to people. I watch people's YouTubes from the UK, and there's Australia. There's another motorcyclist. I think he's in Vietnam, just to get different takes around the world. To me, it's maybe I should rename the podcast. It's not all about the hammock. The hammock is kind of a catalyst for experiences. You know,
right.
you can be a motorcyclist, a car camper, you go to hangs, you can go do a through hike. I just think it's a vehicle. It's just something to sprout into an adventure, you know?
Right. You know, I think you almost quoted what Dutch said, because I'd ask him when he was on, like, did he prefer like hiking or bikepacking, or, you know, what version of camping that he liked? And he made the exact same comment that it didn't really matter. The bike or the hiking, it was just the vehicle for the adventure.
Right.
And I completely agree. I think hammocks have been that catalyst for me of doing the type of camping that I do, or the various types of camping that I've done. And I wouldn't have done that without being in a hammock.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one of the hangs we went to, it was the Lighthouse Lobster Hang, which I got to get you guys to come up to sometime.
Yeah, yes. We want to go.
And we were actually all hammocked around this little teardrop camper. And me being, you know, a lot of these hangs, I've been called the mayor, because I go talk to everybody and make sure everybody's involved. And these people are in the middle of our encampment, so I went and talked to them. And they said something that I thought was kind of profound, is I think the human conditions is at least some, we need to be outside in nature communing with each other. And the hammocks really are a vehicle to make that happen.
Yep.
I know that when I get stressed or whatever, I can go outside. I'll realign with the sunset and the sunrise and the nature sounds, and, you'll hear birds and, and all kinds of things at 5 a.m. You're like, what time is it? And it's so loud. But I think we're not meant to be inside in a light controlled atmosphere all the time.
I agree.
I completely agree.
I've been actually thinking about that the past couple of days of how much time I'm actually inside versus outside. And I mean, it's actually been aggravating me that I'm not getting out more than what I actually do here lately. And I need to do whatever I have to do to change that, I think, because I'm about to go stir crazy.
Well, I think, like when I first started getting into hammocks, you know, my dad had just passed away. And so I was, you know, trying to, kind of figure out that next stage in life, kind of thing. And I discovered hammocks, and I would say being able to go outside, and I had strapped up to my, I had hijacked my kid's swing set, because that was the only place that I had to hang at the time. And I just think about like that time as being so instrumental in that healing process.
Yes.
Which I think maybe is one of the reasons that I have it, hammock camping just kind of stuck. Not only is it, you know, it was stupid comfortable. It was a way for me to get outside, but because of that experience, because that hammock and that time outdoors that the hammock afforded me was just so beneficial that
therapeutic.
It's just, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we'd sit outside and, you know, just relax. And like you said, Chris, just kind of taking in nature, almost like a nice hot bath. And you'd see things like an owl. I remember an owl a couple times would, you know, perch right on the apex of the swing set. And just, I don't know, there was just something so, for lack of a better term, primally therapeutic.
Yeah, they've done studies, you know, proven that being out in nature, you know, helps with the human psyche and everything else. I mean, it helps with stress and everything. Just with us doing it in hammocks, we're just more comfortable while doing it.
So, Chris, with all the craziness that you've had going on in your life here of late, do you find yourself trying to find that time to get outside in your hammock, or is it that time few and far between?
Well, I've slept in a hammock full time for 5 years. My hammock that I sleep in every night is in my room here in the house.
Awesome.
So what's actually funny is when I go to hangs now, I actually put like a pad or whatever in the car, because going and sleeping in a hammock isn't the novel part for me. So what I want to do is I want to go see people.
Right.
So anytime I have to go waste setting up a hammock, I could be talking to somebody. So I just drive up and sleep in the car, and they're like, don't you want to sleep in a hammock? I'm like, I sleep in a hammock all the time. I don't, that isn't even new to me. So the part that I do miss is sleeping outside, and I would do more of it, but the tree that I used to hang off all the time is slowly dying. So big widowmakers keep falling. I can't hang underneath that. I slept out there one night, and I probably have a picture of it. Overnight, a limb came down and tore my tarp.
Ooh.
So that's the last night I slept underneath that tree.
Right.
So I live not in a big city. It's kind of a, they call it a city, but I'm on a third of an acre. So I have a nice backyard, but not a lot of trees. So okay. I'm going to have to rectify that situation to be able to sleep outside. One of the ideas that I like to do is there's what is his name? Alistair Humphreys is a UK guy, and he's all about the micro adventures.
Okay.
And so what I try to do is throw in micro adventures. And now that it's coming spring. So what's a micro adventure? Just midweek, go sleep in the woods, you know, go, you don't have to, doesn't have to be this grand plan where you're going away for a week and then just come home in the morning, go back to work, or go sleep in a field underneath the stars. It doesn't have to be grand plan. So I got to start throwing some. So AJ, yes, I have like this whole list of little micro adventures I want to do. Cause my, you know, I'm going to be busy, so I can't really plan a long trip in my brain right now.
Right.
I got to get outside. I got to get back out in touch with sunrises and sunsets and shooting stars and animals.
Yeah.
I miss that part.
Yeah, I've been jonesing for some outdoor time myself, and I'm actually heading to a wedding in Kingsport, Tennessee this weekend, and I'm actually going to stop halfway in South Carolina and see the Palmetto State family. Their spring swing is this weekend, so I'm going to stop in for a night. And I mean, if nothing else, I get to see those people, you know, for one night. And yeah, like you said, like going to Hanks, it's really just about seeing the people.
It's a family.
If you don't, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. In fact, one of my buddies is a good college friend of mine. He came to HangCon this year as a vendor. Mike D's Barbecue. Shout out to Mike D. Barbecue's Mike D. awesome. Yeah, Mike D. And he came in and he's like, you know, I'm kind of claustrophobic. You know, hammocks really aren't the thing for me. And so I was like, well, we really love to have you, and because your barbecue is amazing. And I wanted to kind of get him a little bit more exposure. And he said the most amazing thing to me at the end of the weekend. He said, I came not knowing exactly what I'd, you know, expect, you know, just you had told me about what this event is, but you're 100% right. He said, I could have come down to this event and not sold a single thing, and it would have still definitely been worth my time to come, just from the community and just the way to unplug. And that's what I love about, you know, not just camping, but also Hangs. It's just something different about Hangs.
Definitely. And you get out there and you can have an IT guy. You'll have a plumber. You'll have, you know, a homesteader. And like we keep saying, the hammock is the vehicle.
Right.
We came for... You know, you came for the hammocking, but you stayed because of the people, or whatever one of those, you know, sayings is. And then what happens is you build lifelong friendships. I mean, you can go all over the country if you just want to. You can just show up at Hangs. They're all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah. So, so while we're talking about Hangs, and this is kind of an experience that was kind of weird for me and Paul, with you have been doing the podcast for a while. And I'd like to ask Jonathan and Mark this too. Do you ever go to a Hangs and you almost feel like a little celebrity? Like, oh, you're the podcast guy.
All right. It's a little unnerving. You go someplace and I'm a quiet, kind of quiet person. Until I feel the environment.
Right.
I'm standing there, and then I'll say something and you have people look going, they recognize the voice.
The voice. Yep.
They've never seen me. And they're like, have I met you before? And I'm like, I think I know where you know me from. So it's a little weird.
It
you
is.
Know, you go, so I don't think it's a celebrity thing, but it's weird to get noticed. So
right. I agree.
And as long as I stay quiet, nobody knows who the heck I am, which is great. So I'll go over and I'll be very quiet, but yeah, it's happened. So that's happened to you guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It happened. It started happening a little bit more this year.
Yeah.
And
started at Palmetto State, the, Fall Sprawl.
Yeah. Fall Sprawl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
But I've had that a little bit of that too, because my daughter is an adaptive alpine skier. She's blind and I guide her from the front.
Yeah.
And she's just becoming known enough in that environment that we'll go and someone will say, hi, Abby. Hi, Chris. And your brain racks. You're like, should I know that? Because you think you should know these people. Did I meet them someplace? And you don't want to be rude, but you're stumbling through and they know you and you don't know them.
Right.
So I get it both on the hammocks side and the alpine ski side. I've gotten a little bit more comfortable with it, but it is still a little weird.
Now, you've been doing a lot of that here lately, too, haven't you? The skiing with your daughter, right?
Yeah, we've been doing it for years. This year was her first year in college, so I guided her in her college, first year college. So when we ski with her college, we're skiing against able-bodied normal skiers.
Okay.
But next week, in fact, we're flying to British Columbia for Adaptive Nationals. And we'll see how we do. But she's on track to go to the Paralympics in 2026, which will be in Italy. We were going to, this is my COVID story and I'm sticking to it, is we were ready to go for qualifying in 2020.
Okay.
When the whole world shut down.
Yep.
So we missed the China Paralympics because the world shut down and we didn't make qualifying.
Wow.
So we were a little bummed, but we train a ton.
Okay. So now, your daughter she's legally blind.
Yes.
And she skis and you are the guide.
Yes.
Right. So explain how that all works. I mean, are you in front, you in back, or I mean, how
she's not completely blind. Okay. She has a condition where the optic nerve withered. And if you know anything about audiovisual, the power to run your equipment is high energy. The signal is low energy. So 5 volts or whatever. Her eye doesn't get enough power to operate. So think about your house. If you had the power out and you had a generator, you probably won't run everything. You're going to run the core of your house.
Yeah.
Her eye runs what it can with the power that it gets.
Okay.
Your central vision is cell for cell, the most energy robbing cell in your body. So her system has shut that off and it just runs the peripheral vision cells, which take a little less energy.
Okay.
So she can see contrast in motion and color. So when I go ski in front of her, she can see my motion just like you could out of this corner of your eye. You can see a bird or a baseball or whatever. You can see color. And so what she does is she follows me and we have walkie talkies or headsets.
Okay.
And we have a language and I code talk. So I become her vision. Okay. I announce things in weird words so that she skiing behind me, she sees me move. She hears the words. And the more we do it, it just becomes, I'm her vision.
Okay.
And it just computes.
So if you have to make a slight turn or something like that, y'all have different keywords that y'all use. So she knows which way to go, when and everything.
So for instance, when I'm doing a turn, I'll hop, H-U-P, hop, is where I'm initiating my turn. Now, if we're in sync and it doesn't happen very often, but it's magical when it does. When I say the word, it's so ingrained in her head and she's the right spacing behind. By her the time her brain hears the word and comprehends, it's where she's supposed to do it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What we're training is to become one skier in two parts.
Gotcha.
It's pretty neat. And we've organically grown together. She lost her vision when she was like 6. And when she was 9, just on a whim, we went skiing and she took to it. And a couple years free skiing. And then she decided she wanted to try racing. And as it was, here we are.
And how old is she now?
She's 19.
Okay.
And she going into this, burying the lead, as they say. We're going into this national finals. She is the national champion. She's a defending national champion.
Oh, wow.
In alpine blind skiing.
That is awesome.
So
she's pretty darn good then.
Yeah, she is. I've had to learn how to ski like for real.
That's awesome.
I have to ski. She follows my pattern. She follows my words. And if I mess up, she messes up. So one of the things, just as an aside, the more just like with hammocking or anything, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. You fix something and you realize, oh, this other thing is broken that I hadn't noticed because this other. So this weekend, I realized that she can see enough of my movement. So I have to scrub because I can ski faster than her. So I have to scrub speed.
Okay.
The way I was, I couldn't understand why she wasn't picking up speed. And what I realized is her brain is so used to following me and doing what I do that when I scrub speed, she scrubs speed. She didn't even realize she was doing it.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I would kick my skis to take an edge off my, and she just naturally, she didn't even realize she was doing it. So then I'm like, well, how am I going to fix this? I can't telegraph to her that I'm kicking off speed. So these are the kind of things we learn. And the better she gets, we're getting like a whole, I've got like a whole different adaptive ski family too, you know?
Right.
There's actually, oddly enough, there's not a lot of overlap between my alpine family and my hammock family, which I got to fix.
So does your daughter do any of the camping and stuff with you?
She likes to camp, but she likes a tent. Okay. Two reasons. One, she's a girl. She likes the privacy. And that's one of the big things I've found out in hammocking is women tend to not like hammocking because it lacks privacy, which we could fix. The other thing is she likes, since she's blind, she likes space. She likes to have, she can put things in different corners and they're where they're supposed to be.
Right.
And she can organize. But so she does go camping with us, but she usually stays in a tent. She has stayed in a hammock, but it makes her seasick.
Okay. I was fixing to ask you about having a hammock inside of like one of the tent rooms, almost like a hot tent type deal.
Yep. I haven't done a hot tent, although it's on, it's like everything is I haven't camped anywhere, but it's on the list. So I haven't tried all the gear, but it's on the list. So I'd like to try hot tenting. I watched a couple of videos. I have a buddy, BK, who does all kinds of hot tenting.
Yeah.
And so I've been vicariously living through him in his hot. When I'm not skiing full time with my daughter in a few years, I'll pick up the hot tenting. Have you tried it?
I have not. I mean, being here in Florida, you know, we're not really looking at hot tents.
You live in a hot tent. It's called Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
But AJ and I was actually talking a few weeks ago, and I was telling him I actually want to get one just to try it. Plus, it would also give me an excuse to be able to go up and, you know, do a little snow camping as well whenever it gets cold.
Yeah, come on up. I'll take you snow camping.
Yeah, I'd love to do it. I mean,
what I would like to do is if I had a different piece of land, I would like a communal teepee.
Okay.
So we all sleep out, you know, we don't sleep in the hot tent, but we have a teepee with a fire. So it's warm.
Yep.
And then we can all, so at night, we're not freezing cold around. I watched some of those frozen butt hangs and just hanging around the fire, they seem really cold. I don't mind sleeping in the cold. It's the standing around in the cold I don't like.
Right. At least when you're sleeping, you can get your tuck quilts and everything.
I think one of the coolest things that I've seen from like one of the really cold hangs, I mean, anything really cold for us, but one of our buddies, Matt Leo, he went to, I want to say one of the winter hangs in Virginia when they got like down to like in the low 20s, maybe upper teens. And he bought like this parachute. And basically, the parachute was lifted up from the heat convection off the fire, and it kind of like created this dome around everything. And it was almost like a like they had a campfire inside a hot air balloon. It was stupid cool.
That would be pretty cool. I could see it going badly, but
I could see that going very badly, very quickly too.
I asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, it stayed nice and warm. And because I told him about
once you got the convection going, but I'm like, where's the smoke? I'm one of these people. I'm like getting in all the details of how this could go badly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I could see myself being in there and then dozing off and not tending to the fire and the heat going down, which would bring down the, the parachute. Then it would hit the hot cold. Yeah. It would just be bad all around.
Yeah. Well, the one of the things I hadn't thought of is you have to bring like a CO2 whatever meter when you have those hot tents to make sure that the common carbon monoxide doesn't build up. I'm like, well, that's true. I just thought it'd be drafty enough that you'd be okay. But
well, yeah, I hadn't even really thought of that.
You have to, I guess it'd build up. I'm like, can't you just open like a flap at the top or something? And I don't know.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
Maybe it will be. Maybe it, you know, it'd be a peaceful way to go, I guess.
There's that. Right? So, Chris, we had talked earlier where you spend, every night in a hammock, you have a hammock inside your house. So what was your origin story as it takes to hammocks? What did you start out with? How did you get into hammock camping?
So it's stupid how I got into this. I got given a hammock as a gift for Christmas. It was one of those cheap, basic ones you get someplace. I've always been outdoors, and I told you make this list for your parents or whatever to pick from, and they bought me this cheap hammock that I could take a nap in the backyard or go on a hike or something. I threw it in the shed. I was in ski season, so I was out in the spring, and I was cleaning out the shed, and I found this cheap hammock, and I hung it up thinking, maybe I'll just see what this is. I laid in it, and 45 minutes later, I woke up going, huh, there's a hammock in. Now, this was a single hammock. I had it strung up too tight. It kind of wrapped up around me like this little cocoon. But there was something to it. And that's where it started. And I kept trying to figure out this hammock. And then I tried to Google for hammocks. And if you ever do Googles for the top 10 hammocks, now that you know what you're talking about, the 10 hammocks they list are always crap. I mean, there might be one in the list. You know, they're not putting Dutchware. They're not putting Warbonnet out there. Right. They're not putting Sierra Madre. They're not putting anything that we know is decent stuff. They've got just weird things.
Your big box names, mass produced.
Yep.
So, some pay to play kind of vendor.
So my first real hammock, I finally tripped in the hammock forums, and when I jumped in the hammock forums, it had a buzz to it. If you guys remember a few years ago, 3 years ago, hammock forums really had a buzz. It was happening. It still is a great place. You still go get your, but the buzz isn't quite there like it was.
No, I think everybody's migrated to Facebook.
Yeah. And so I kept looking for things. So I bought a Dutch Halfwit, was my first real, what I consider my first real hammock.
Okay.
And I stayed in that in my backyard for months. You know, just with a Dutch Halfwit, it has the half of
bug net.
It was enough that, the mosquitoes wouldn't get after you. I probably was in that for like 6 months. And then I just went off the deep end and was buying used stuff. Then I got in the bridge hammocks for that first year. I was nothing but gathered ends. And like you said, AJ, I said, I want to figure this hammocking thing out. And I got kind of an addictive personality. So I just spent a year outside. Every night I'd say goodnight to the family and I'd go outside regardless of the weather. It could be pouring down rain. It could be 10 below. It could snowstorm. I'm outside. I figured it out.
What did your family think about that? Whenever you would just, okay, I'm going to bed and then head out the door to go outside.
They've gotten used to, I'm not wired quite right. So, it's just something I did. I do all kinds of, I've always done strange things. For instance, when my wife was, had her operations just last year in the spring here. In the winter, I slept in the car in the parking garage. Why not? So I bought myself a Jackery. I had a fan. Had a little dehumidifier. I'm always trying something.
Right.
That's just who I am. So that's the origin story, AJ. And then since then, I've basically lived full-time in a hammock. I've tried dozens of gathered ends. I taught myself how to make gathered ends. Then I got into bridge hammocks, and I've
Which do you use now?
More I'm in a Bill Townsend hammock, bridge hammock.
Okay.
I think he calls it the, the luxury hammock. It's a little wider on the head end than it is on the tail, the foot end. He recesses the bar so you get the full effect of the width of the spreader bars.
Okay.
So, and he was real nice to me. When I first got the hammock, when I got the first one from him, he said, "What do you think?" And not realizing Bill is an artist and he creates hammocks. And so I insulted him by telling him all the things I thought he was doing, he could do differently. Not realizing I didn't offend him, but I was being a little insensitive. And so I thought he just didn't listen to me, which is fine. I mean, I talk all the time. That's why I do a podcast. But when my wife got sick, a box showed up in the mail and I didn't order anything because I hadn't had time. And it was from Bill. He remembered everything I mentioned and made me a hammock with every specification that I had mentioned years prior. So I have like a pretty special hammock right now.
Wow. That's awesome. Bill really is a great guy. A couple times that I've, I have one of Bill's Big Eye Bridges. And I've talked with him a number of times. I really like to have Bill on the podcast. He really is a great guy, and he takes his craft very seriously.
Yes, he's an artist. He's really, really particular. Good luck getting on the podcast. I can tell close friend, and he goes, "I love you, Chris, but I don't even like calling my mom." So he goes, I'll love to talk to you, but I don't think that's my thing. So never pushed it.
Right.
I'll snag him. Someday we'll get a caravan up and we'll just record him behind his back and say, we recorded you. Do you mind if we use it? And he loves craft beer. So maybe a case of craft beer and a good fire.
There you go.
So, but for bridge hammocks, I've tried Warbonnet. I've got one of the original Bear Mountain jacks are better.
Okay.
A lot of people call it the coffin. It's really comfortable though.
I agree.
It needs a pad. That's the trick. You have to put a pad in it. If you put a pad in it, it's still a bathtub. I'm not going to lie to you, but it lays real flat. What's nice about it is you lay out in front of under the stars. There's a screen netting above you, but it's taut, so it almost disappears. It's a great hammock to watch shooting stars in.
Yeah.
So obviously I've tried the, Warbonnet Ridge Runner. Actually this last summer you probably didn't even know Eno makes a bridge hammock. So I tried one of those and oddly enough, it's pretty nice too.
Yeah.
So, and I've built some of my own. I was designing one for quite a while and then lost interest. Maybe I'll pick it back up sometime. I had a couple of prototypes floating out in the environment. I think a few people have tried them. They're like, "Oh, you made that purple bridge. Yeah, that was mine." wasn't perfect, but I taught myself how to sew and it was functional. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, so. I've made a couple. I've made one bridge, and I've got a few other in the works that I'm kind of playing with some ideas myself. And like my first one, it was not pretty. It was functional, but it was not pretty.
Right.
So, what do you enjoy about a bridge that maybe that you wouldn't get from a gathered end? Because I just recently made that conversion to a bridge hammock,
and I'm I'm in the works of converting if I can ever get mine.
Yeah. What I like about a bridge is you don't need instructions to know how to lay in it. I can have someone lay in it and it just makes sense. It's a floating cot. You can use it. So your underquilt can be much smaller and clipped and it won't move. It's perfect. You don't have to worry about what angle. It just seems like it's a more complicated thing to make, but it's less complicated to learn. I think, and I'm not belittling anybody that makes gathered ends. I've heard their recipes can be quite complicated about how they're putting it all together. But when you get someone in a gathered end, you have to say, well, you got to lay on a little angle and there's a learning curve.
Your feet's got to be a little bit higher than your head. And
so I put my dad in a war. When I go camping, I give him my Warbout Ridge Runner, and I had to put up some shock cords so it doesn't sway because he gets seasick.
Right.
But I didn't have to teach him how to use it. He just lays in and goes to sleep.
Just like he's laying in his bed.
It's like a bed. So now when I go camping, if I go hiking in something, I'll still bring, I have one of Anne-Marie's hammocks, Autumn Outdoors.
Okay.
Her camper?
Yep. And I have, and it's a 1.2, so it's nice and light and it works great. I think there's an old concept I had is if you go back, I'm always about analogies, so bear with me. When there's two guys, it was Westinghouse and Edison, they were trying to figure out and vie against each other, was AC or DC supposed to be the dominant electrical standard? When the answer was both, we needed both. I think the thing is whether gathered ends or hammock or bridges are the right hammock, I think is the wrong argument. We want them both. They're a tool. Right. I don't want just a hammer or a saw. I want both. It depends on the application. Some people don't like one or the other, and that's fine. Like Cajun, although I think he's starting to figure out the bridge, but he's an active sleeper, and he always felt he was, he felt he was going to roll out. Although it's very hard to roll out uncontrollably of a bridge, but they feel like they are. They feel more.
Yeah, it definitely moves. They feel a more tipping different than a gathered end.
But what is nice in a bridge when you're out in the wild and you're in a night is you wake up in the morning, you can see all around you. You don't have to get out of your hammock to just look around. Whereas in a gathered end, you usually have a big piece of cloth.
Right. On one of your sides.
You can see out the one side, but the other side, I can sleep in about anything now. I mean, I remember I had my bag packed because I was going to come down to Hang Con 2 years ago. And that was going to be a gathered end with a partial pad, a 40-degree quilt, and a Cuban fiber tarp. That was what I was going to bring to the hammock hang. I mean, I can sleep in everything. It's hard for me to pick. Although I was going to say hard for me to pick a favorite hammock. I have to pick the custom made one by Bill as my favorite. But commercially, I can sleep in about everything.
Right.
Yeah. There's definitely some that I prefer more so than others. But yeah, I agree. I can pretty much sleep in.
Well, the trouble with some of them is some you have like options of comfortable lays, right? Some of them, there's like one option. That's, you get, there's one position in this hammock that's comfortable and it's really comfortable, but there's only one position. There's only one. And the other thing is if you get the right hammock, you can laze around in it. You can sleep in it. You can read a book in it. You can put on your shoes. Some hammocks, I'll give you a good example for me. The Warbonnet Blackbird is very comfortable, but I only found that there's one position that's comfortable for me. It's not my lazing hammock, but for sleeping and stuff, it was great. but there, I don't find a lot of flexibility in it, although I've used it quite a bit for, you know, I think every hammock, I have to sleep in at least like 10 nights till I come up with a good decision about what I like and don't like about it.
So I can echo the sentiment on the Warbonnet Blackbird 100%.
It's very comfortable. It's great to sleep in. There's one position.
Yeah.
It's just, that's it. It's a great hammock. I mean, there's lots of great hammocks.
Yeah.
There's lots of them.
So what's some of the, some new gear that you've gotten recently?
Oh, the gear questions. So I have a whole bin of gear, and you probably could name any company, although there's still a few companies I haven't tried. But coming in this spring, I got into first the gear is I got in on the Yobo Hive Kickstarter.
Okay. Were you one of the first 20? Did you get the
So super I early? Feel really stupid, and I'm going to talk about how, and I'm still pissed at myself to this day. So I was online on time, and I went in and I typed Yobo, and it didn't come up. It just showed the old one.
Yep.
And by the time I realized you have to, in the search field, type Yobo Hive here,
okay,
or the Hive.
Or Hive, yep.
I was 38th.
Oh,
I was
wow.
So pissed. The way my brain works is I was so pissed. I'm like, I'm not going to get it. I'm done. And then, you know, once I had my 5 minutes of venting, I got in there and I went.
The first 20 were gone in, I think, second. Just under 2 minutes.
I went in at like I clicked right through and yeah, it was still 17. I was 17 out of 20 or 18 out of 20, something ridiculous.
I'm friends with Calvin.
Yep.
And I was just stewing because, you know, I wanted to save the $50 and everything. And I was so pissed at myself because I was there on time. I just searched. I didn't know. So Calvin says, if you want it, you know, get in there. I'll give you the $50 back or whatever. And first I'm like, what really was my issue was I was so tired from work and stress from my wife.
Right.
It just was that it's the stress of I was tired, dumb.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I searched for the wrong thing. It was because I was tired. And then I told Calvin, it's not about the $50. It's about what's happened in my life is what with my work was work. My job is what I do, not who I am.
Right.
And my job was becoming who I am. And that was my stress point. And as soon as I realized that, I changed my mindset that I can go get a new job. I choose to keep this job. Yep. And ever since it's been better. But we were talking about gear. So I reached out to Hummingbird Hammocks and talked to them, and they're sending me some gear. I talked to Eno. They're sending me some gear that I can try. And then I told you guys, and hopefully I won't be poo-pooed, I bought a Durston tent, which was built by an engineer. It's like supposed to be the singular most popular tent. And the reason I want is I want the flexibility that I had some friends go out to Joshua Tree.
Okay.
And so I'll have both options. I'll have the Hive hammock stand and I'll have a tent. As much as I love the hammock stand, if I go hiking in Joshua Tree, I'm not going to carry a 12-pound hammock stand in the backwoods. Although Calvin seems to get away with it, but I wanted to try a tent. I said, I'd really like to figure out how to master a tent. Even if that's not what I do, I'd like to be able to have the conversation with tent people and have the translation of how to talk to them about hammocking in their terms.
How long has it been since you've slept in a tent?
8 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I've slept in a tent. I have slept on the ground. I'm a big cowboy camper.
Okay.
So what I like to do is I talk to you guys about micro adventures.
Yep.
I'll leave on a Friday afternoon right after work, 5 o'clock, hike to the top of a mountain, and I'll sleep on the top of the mountain. So you get to see the sunset, have dinner up there, watch the stars, see the sunrise. And then in the morning you get up, pack everything up and go home, and you can still work a full work week and still do the stuff, your obligations on the weekend. So last time I slept in a tent was probably 8 years ago, but the last time I slept on the ground was last summer.
Okay.
So just putting it relative.
Gotcha.
So did you guys
also have that, like, that thought process here recently, of just, like you said, I would love to be able to figure out a tent in a way that you can kind of talk to 10 people and say, hey, I've tried this out. And yeah, you are right. The tent is better for this, this, and this. But a hammock solves this problem that I might have with a tent. It might solve a problem for yours. A tent is not in my wheelhouse, but it is something that I'm like relatively curious about. But if I brought home another piece of gear that is not hammock related, I might be permanently sleeping out in the tent. So
what I figured with the Dursting, because I did a lot of research, is it's like, let's say, pick a food, any kind of thing, some sort of cake or whatever. You want to go have the best version of that thing.
Right.
And if you don't like that, you're not going to like anything underneath it. So I bought what I found is the best tent that has venting. It's perfect. Everything about it is, and if I can't make that work and I can't enjoy it, I'm not going to find any tent works for me.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people, that use them. I know several that use them as well. And I mean, they do speak highly of them. So I don't know if I could actually go back to a tent though. I mean, it's been, 2008 since I slept in a tent.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if I could, because I mean, I know how it is around here at the house. If I drop something and it rolls up under the bed and I got to get down to the floor to get it out from up under the bed. I mean, it takes me forever to get back up. But I can't even imagine, you know, waking up in the morning and trying to, you know, crawl out and get vertical, you know, in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. The crawling around was always in the tent world was something I didn't like, but, I would like the option in my quiver to know how to tent so I can go places. Like I would love to understand it and have a pack. So if someone said, let's go to Scotland, you're not going to bring a hammock to Scotland. You're going to bring a tent because or let's go camp in Joshua Tree. There's lots of places you can't hammock. So gotcha. I would just like to have that but to your point, if I'm in a place where I can hammock or tent,
right,
why would I get into a tent?
Right.
Makes no sense. So one of the things I've always said about hammocking versus tenting, I have slept in like, you know, mid to 9 o'clock in the morning in a hammock. I've never slept in a tent. In a tent, you get up in the morning. Why?
Right.
Because you're done.
Right. Right.
So
you don't see too many people say, gosh, I can't wait to hop in that tent. I can't wait to lay down on that pad.
Right. It's not. But also, I don't have a lot of people that I know sleep full time in a tent. Although there is a channel on YouTube called Surviving Ringworm, where this guy just bought a piece of land and he lives out in a tent in the woods. And so I know one guy, but I know a lot of people that sleep in a hammock. It's good for your back. It's good. It's just good recovery, you know?
Yeah, me and Cal have talked about that several times because I know he has back issues, and him and Kristen both have, you know, mentioned how there's times that Cal will wake up in the morning and he'll go straight from his bed out to his hammock just to lay in his hammock for, you know, 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, just to, you know, get his back, you know, to where it's not all tensed up and everything.
Yeah, he's got some back issues.
Yep. And, you know, I'm the same way with mine from working construction, you know, as long as I have. And that's why I got the hammock, you know, hung up here behind me, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's times that, you know, I'll fall asleep in here and, you know, sleep in here all night. There's times that I'll get up in the mornings or whatever and, you know, come and lay in here. So, I mean, it really all depends. But, yeah, it definitely helps my back out. I know that.
Yep. I agree.
So, Chris, I have some random questions that we're going to throw your way to let people learn a little bit more about you. So, with your micro adventures or your just camping in general, what is your favorite camp meal and drink to have out while in the backwoods?
What's interesting about going when I go in the backwoods? Now, I'm assuming you're talking like on a hike where I got to pack the stuff and go out a few miles.
Whatever you love to eat.
I tend to just, I don't get really fancy when I'm out there. I don't drink coffee, which it seems like a ritual for most people. I just get some of the
coffee. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. You're talking blah, blah, blah.
I don't drink my coffee.
Yeah, I'm the odd one out here.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, there you go. So often I just get like drink packets with caffeine because I still drink my caffeine.
Yeah.
And often I'll just bring like peanut butter and jelly and bread. I know it sounds weird, but when I'm out in the wild and I just hiked. Some people like the ritual of cooking their food. I like to just eat and relax. So I'll have the most basic things you can imagine. So you don't want to go, I won't be the one cooking you a gourmet meal.
Gotcha. So what is if you could hammock camp or camp anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Yellowstone.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's
any particular reason?
Have you ever been to Yellowstone? I mean, I don't want to be a buzzkill, but have you ever been to Yellowstone?
No. Is it not much?
Okay, so I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for this from some like. All right, so we went out to Yellowstone this past year, and I could have skipped Yellowstone. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. My wife is probably rolling her eyes if she can hear me, but like. The Grand Prismatic is stupid cool. Like, don't get me wrong. That is like really, really cool. But like for me, at this point, when you've seen like a few hundred bison, yeah, that's cool. Don't get near them. Or once you've seen one hot pot, like you've seen them all, like, ooh, boiling water. Yeah, it smells like sulfur. Now the upper falls and the lower falls is really nice. Yeah. But to me, it was like a 5,000-acre parking lot.
Well, that's I'm thinking of this pristine thing. I wasn't thinking of all the cars and stuff. But, you know, you get the movies like Dances with Wolves or something. I just like to get to a spot where I could see that expanse and go, this is what it looked like.
Right.
Before the white man came through and put in parking lots. I've thought of going to the redwoods of California. I just wanted to see a tree that was 200 feet tall, but I don't think I'd camp there because their limbs are trees. And
right.
And I don't know. I'd be nervous of getting it wrong.
Not just their limbs, but a pine cone.
Just a pine cone. Yeah. I've been
like sequoias have really, really tiny pine cones. We were talking about sequoias in my science class earlier this week, and they really, really tiny pine cones.
Yeah.
Okay.
So also you would need like 100 foot straps
per tree.
Per tree.
No, yeah. you could just drill. No, never mind.
Yeah. It would be neat to see a hammock strung up between two redwoods or two sequoias, though.
I would love it.
Could you imagine the straps?
Yeah.
You have a roll like this.
Yeah, you get the rolls like the firemen have, the big, you're going in. What are you going to do? I'm going to hammock.
Out that way, they probably shoot you on sight.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So if you could have one superpower, what would that superpower be?
This is a trick question.
No, it's just an AJ question.
We're all about the hard questions here.
I don't know.
AJ has some off the wall questions he goes over.
Oh, I'm totally asking the next one that you love. I'm totally asking.
Oh, my God.
I guess I'd want to fly. I mean, why wouldn't you want to fly? We get all the drones to go up in the air to look everything. Wouldn't it be cool to be able to just go up there and look yourself?
I like the idea of it. I just don't do heights, so I probably would fly like 5 feet off the ground and be like, "No, I'm good."
Oh, I'm a risk taker. I'm good. I'd figure it out as long as I wasn't like the greatest American hero. I don't know if you guys remember that old.
Oh God, yes. Show.
Yeah, I'd want the instruction manual.
The instruction manual. Okay, so all next right, question,
so,
AJ.
So what is your favorite holiday movie? So I know this is Paul's favorite question. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
A Christmas Story. You're going to shoot your eye out.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay, so what is one thing that ruins a night in the hammock for you?
Somebody's snoring.
Oh, Lordy. You better bring some earplugs when you come down to Hancock.
Oh,
we have to be very strategic on where we place Chris.
I'm ADHD and I can't unhear it. I sleep with a fan year round.
Me too.
So earplugs noted.
So let's see. What is one thing that you are deeply grateful for right now?
My wife's alive.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Let's see. What is the purchase that you've made camping related? Doesn't necessarily have to be a hammock, but what is the purchase that you've made camping related that has had the biggest impact on your camping adventures?
Biggest impact. A partial sleeping pad.
Partial sleeping pad.
So yep. Why do you like a partial sleeping pad so bad? Is that kind of like a partial underquilt?
It's a short, it's just enough. And I have a woman's Therm-a-Rest. It's lighter because it's smaller.
Right.
But what I like about it is when I went on my 3-day trek to do, it's a trek here in New Hampshire called the Presidential Traverse, where you go over like 4,000 footers.
Okay.
What's nice about it is it's insulated. It gives you just enough. You can put it in a hammock, but it also gives you the flexibility to sleep on the ground should you have to. And it's impervious to being wet. It can be soaked and it's still going to give you insulation. So it's a peace of mind piece. So when I go camping, sometimes I'll bring a synthetic top quilt, that partial pad. And I know I can be soaked and I'm going to be, it's about survival. So when we went out, it was really wet. So did I carry more weight than other people? Yes, but their gear got wet and I slept fine. So a partial women's Therm-a-Rest partial air pad.
Okay.
It's the most versatile piece of gear I got.
Awesome. Awesome. That had not been what I would have thought. So with doing the podcast, what has been your favorite part about doing the HYOH podcast?
I've enjoyed talking to people. And it's almost like a little get in free to like an exclusive club. It's a thing I can go to people. I can have an excuse to go talk to people and I can get a gain entry to talk to them. I mean, I've talked to the guys at Eno. I mean, they're just regular guys, but I have a reason to talk to them and they are interested to talk to me. And I've enjoyed talking to people and, it's like this little secret little, and it's a way that I've been able to give back in my own way to the community that's given me so much, to give voice to people who are quiet and don't necessarily get the exposure. It's just a way I can give back. So I thought the podcast was great. In fact, I thought when my wife was sick, I just hang it up and I'm like, no, I'll come back. This is pretty good.
So what is the most difficult or frustrating or your least favorite part about doing the podcast?
Editing. You can't tell me.
I don't mind the editing.
You can edit mine. I'll send them over.
I don't mind the editing.
I don't mind the editing either.
I think it's a little bit of the OCD of you get in there and you're going to take the ums and the ahs and you realize how many vocal tics you have. And I don't know how long it takes you guys, but
it depends on the episode.
I mean, I've spent like, you know, the episode would be an hour and I'd spend 3 hours editing the blooming thing. Really? You know,
what editing software do you use?
I'm just using Audacity.
Okay.
Although I got to check this out. There's supposed to be a system that will do text to speech. And so you go and you find all the ums, just like you can do a find and replace in a Word document.
I've seen those. I've seen those.
And mind blown. If that would work, my mind would be blown.
Yeah, it does to a degree. I have looked into them and, you know, tried like a sample type thing of it. And it does somewhat work, but there's times that you can tell that it's not right and it almost sounds butchered.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I know, I use Audition. Adobe Audition for mine. Okay.
Yeah.
And Adobe has a thing coming out. It's in just a test mode right now, but it's a system that you just take and you upload your stuff to it and it cleans everything up. You know, of course it don't take out the ums and the ahs and stuff like that, but it adjusts all the audio, takes out background noise and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just playing around with it, it sometimes works fine, but then there's other times where certain stuff will start to sound like a robot.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But, what do you use to record your episodes with?
So I'm just silly, stupid. I use, Google, like you make an audio call.
Okay.
When you audio call me, like when I had you on the podcast, is I press the number 4 and it will say this call is being recorded. And when it's all done, it emails me an MP3.
Okay. So you don't have separate tracks of each guest?
Nope.
Okay. That's why it takes you a little bit longer. Because if, like whenever we record, like right now, I'm going to have 3 different tracks. I'm going to have my track, I'm going to have AJ's track, and I'm going to have your track. And so it's a lot easier to edit when you have separate tracks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know there's a lot of times where, like, if, say, you and I were talking, and mm-hmm. AJ's just sitting there, and then something happens on AJ's end, you know, his phone make a noise, or, you know, his kid like decides to empty out the cupboard and send pots and pans everywhere.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I can easily take that out because it's on his track and not all of them. So, I mean, it just gets a little tricky sometimes when
it does get tricky, but
when there's, you know, when there's a noise over, you know, somebody talking, but with, I know with Audition, it's still pretty easy to take out certain frequencies out of.
Yeah, in some podcasts, stuff, I've cut out an entire little section.
Right.
Well, speaking of the podcast, what can we, you are starting your podcast right back up. And like we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, we're really, really excited about that. Like I was telling, Paul, he needs someone else to, come on because I refuse to listen into the episodes that I'm a part of just cause I listen to my voice all day anyway. So what are some things that, we can expect to see from the HYOH podcast, coming up either next month or into the future?
Well, I think what I'd like to do next month is I'm going to say a little, my little spiel, and I'm going to promote your podcast because what I like is when I listen to a bunch of podcasts, much more professional than us, is they cross-pollinate. I want you guys to share my crowd and we could, I mean, we're talking the same crowd here. One of the things I think I'm going to do a little bit is a little review of gear section because I'm realizing I have a unique perspective and I'm going to show my age. Remember when you used to go in the Blockbuster and in one section, this was Mike's picks and this was Judy's picks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a person soon. So once you understand my way of thinking, my reviews will make sense. You know what I'm saying? And even if you don't completely agree with me, you'll be able to base off what I say about them. So I'd like to do some reviews. I'm not going to be as MacGyver by any means. But I just like to get back to, I think what people liked a lot was the chats around a fire. I'd like to find some obscure people. I'd like to find international people. And I'm looking for people that are adventurers that, that have a story to tell that, you know, just interesting. One of the things I'm over here watching Skunk.
I'm sorry. I got this mosquito buzzing around me.
one of the things that Shug told me is if you're interested in it, the listener will be interested in it. So that's kind of my guiding, my North Star is, am I interested in it? If I am, then they come on. One of the things I've learned with the podcast too is, I don't know if you guys do this or you just jump in both feet and figure it out. I have to, I do like a pre-screen. I have like a mini, I just chat with them on the phone to see if there's a banter. Is it working?
Right.
Some people don't work on a podcast, you know, and if you get in there and you realize like 5 minutes in that, this is going to be a long 25 minutes to figure out how to get through this. I'd like to weed that stuff out. But really what the podcast to me would want to be is I just like to find some interesting stories. I might go on some adventures and talk about it. I'd like to get other people that to talk about their adventures. So one of the pieces when I was a kid, there was two kinds of magazines. Mountain Bike Action, and it was all gear. It was just gear. I mean, talking about the new doodads and everything. I love the magazine, but I don't have any of those magazines left. They all got trashed at some point. I have a shelf full of this other magazine it was called Bike Magazine, and it was about the experience of biking, about the experience of being in the woods of how it felt and what it smelled like. So I'd like to be a little bit of mountain bike action, a little bit of gear, but mostly the experience.
Okay.
So that
sounds awesome. I'm really looking forward to it, Chris.
Do you have a date set that you're wanting to start up?
What I try to do is when I did it is I tried to put out a podcast the first Monday of a month.
Okay.
So I'm hoping to fire up whatever the first Monday in April is. Okay, it probably It'll be a little spiel. I'm going to point them at your podcast so they can kind of catch up here. I feel a little self-effacing to go talk about me in my own podcast. So thanks for being my muse. They want to hear about what's happened in the intervening months. I got you guys, and then I'll find a guest and a purpose for the rest of the summer.
Yeah, it looks like the first Monday in April is the 3rd.
That's when I'll put her out. That's the plan, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. So, did you have any more questions, AJ?
I believe that'll be all.
That'll be all.
Did you have any questions for us? He has a hard time with words.
Words are hard.
Words hard. Don't know.
I teach math.
I'm just so glad that, you know, you guys are enthusiastic. It's just fun to be. I've been kind of head down for so long. I think I've been kind of head down for 7 months. So you guys are like a breath of fresh air in my life.
I'm glad.
Kind of put me, you know, put me back. It's one of those things, you know, when you don't have, you take your kids away, you take your wife away, you take your job away, you got to build what's left.
Right.
That's the core of you. And, you know, that's, you guys have helped me get started to put a little bit more investment back into me.
I'm good. I'm glad that we were able to help. Cause like I said, we loved your podcast, and I always look forward to hearing new episodes.
Appreciate it a lot.
All right, then. We'll go ahead and wrap it up, and just everybody make sure that mark your calendars for the 3rd of next month. What time do you normally release your podcast? Do you release them in the mornings, or?
I typically release them evening of that day.
Okay. All right. So yeah, just go ahead and everybody mark your calendars for the 3rd of next month to get ready for the HYOH podcast to start back up. And until then, just, you know, go on and search up the HYOH podcast if you don't already follow them and listen to some of the past episodes and get ready for the new ones, because I know there are going to be some good ones to come in. And until next week, happy hanging, everyone.
And that's the show for this month. As always, you can find the podcast at hyohpodcast.com. And for more information on the podcast, you can go to the Facebook page. If you like what you hear, please consider giving us a positive review on iTunes or wherever you get the podcasts. This podcast is a labor of love, and your support is very much appreciated. If you'd like to help support the podcast with a donation, please go to hyohpodcast.com/donate. For a one-time donation. I would like to thank those who support the podcast month to month, and if you enjoy the podcast, please consider supporting the podcast via the Patreon page. Please tell your friends about the podcast and be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. And as always, I would love to hear from you with questions, comments, and show ideas. You can email me anytime at chris@hyohpodcast.com. And finally, a special thank you to Ben Sound for our podcast music and ITX for the hosting the podcast. As always, thank you for listening. See you next month.